had a printout of the first 10,000 digits of pi.
Pi, because of this universal connection to the idea of the circle.
This is a story about pi and how it inspired a mathematical artist and the connections he found when he walked into a quilt shop in an Amish snowbird community in Florida. How to make an American pie quilt. You remember pi from school, probably. It's that number between 3 and 4, but closer to 3. It's what you get when you divide the circumference of a circle by its diameter. You can't write it down exactly in decimal form because its digits go on forever, never repeating. In some ways, pi is shorthand for the joy of nerdiness. But really, what is pi? It's just a number. What's the big deal? The big deal is that pi contains the whole circleness of a circle. If I'm thinking of a circle and I give you a radius, you can draw the circle that I had in mind. Every point on a circle is exactly one radius away from the center. There's no other shape where the ratio of the distance around to the distance across is a constant. For at least 20 years, people have celebrated Pi Day on March 14th. We have parties, we make real pies that you eat with the Greek letter pi carved into the crust, we post pi pictures all over social media. Pi Day in 2015 was the Pi Day of the century, because the date reads 3-14-15, or 3-1-4-1-5. On that day, mathematical artist John Sims even released a Pi Day anthem, which also features YouTube sensation Vi Hart. John Sims is a political artist and a mathematical artist. Nearly two decades ago, as he was wrapping up his PhD in math, he was tapped to help create a curriculum based on visual mathematics for Ringling College of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida.
I started thinking about visual mathematics in a serious way.
What spoke to you about pi?
It's connected to the circle. So the circle in itself, as a metaphor, as you know, for cycles and periodicity, is very, very powerful as it relates to nature, as it relates to the circle of life, as it relates to anything cyclic, the sun, the moon, things like that. So those are very, very powerful starting points.
Sims began creating works made of multicolored grids that would represent pi. Each color corresponded to a digit.
He would set the numbers to corresponding colors.
This is Ella Toy.
And then as the digits went along, we would pick that color. Zero would be red, and one would be yellow, and two would be blue, and three would be orange, and four.
The center square was the first digit, or three. Then the digits of pi spiraled out from the center, and the color pattern followed that sequence of numbers. 3, 1, 4, 1, 5, 9, on. And they ultimately filled the grid. To an innocent bystander, it just looks like a grid of random colors. But if you know your math and know about Sims' intention, you can find the digits of pi encoded within that grid. So here we have John Sims, mathematical artist. He'd been thinking about randomness, structure, and pi. And then he took a trip to New York City and found inspiration.
And then at some point, I saw the G's Ben show, I think it was early 2000s. At the Whitney Museum, you know, the G-Spins, these black women from G-Spins.
The show included 60 hand-stitched quilts made by over four generations of African-American women who lived in G's Bend, a small and isolated community in southwest Alabama. The quilts are celebrated for their bright colors, their improvisational style, which look more like abstract art than conventional textile patterns.
And I was just mesmerized by incredible geometry and sense of design from those quilts. Before that, I had taken a trip to Ghana in the mid-90s and had gotten all of these fabrics. Went to Kumasi, a very famous town in that region that had a lot of textile making. And
okay, so John Sims, math artist, has this gorgeous fabric from Ghana, big ideas about how to visualize pi, then he sees these quilts. He goes home, back to Sarasota, and at that point, he goes to Almasu's quilt shop. Now, I feel like we have to set this scene a little. Alma Sue's is in Pinecraft, which is an Amish and Mennonite community in Sarasota.
I don't think there's any other place like Pinecraft anywhere.
It's unusual for many reasons. For one thing, it's urban. For another, it's in Florida, which means you'll see palm trees, but probably not any livestock. Pinecraft is a destination for Amish snowbirds.
In the wintertime, it is thousands and thousands of snowbirds. In the summertime, it's probably down to maybe 800 of Amish. There's Amish people who live here. There are probably thousands of Mennonites who live here year-round. But the Amish people, most of them come in the winter and stay here until it's time to plant the spring planting.
And the people who live there are more likely to get around on tricycles and golf carts than in buggies pulled by horses. And Pinecraft, Alma Sue's Quilts, is an institution. It's owned by Ella Toy. Okay, so one day, John Sims, this was in about 2005, John Sims walks into Alma Sue's quilt shop and meets Ella Toy.
He came in on a Saturday afternoon. I had a very busy Saturday afternoon, a long range of customers lined up, and I saw that John got into the queue way down at the end of the line. Finally, it was his turn to come up to the table, and I saw he did not have a bolt of fabric or anything to process. So, and as the customers came and had bolts of fabric to cut, then he would let them go ahead of him. And the next one would come and he would let them go ahead of him. Because he didn't have fabric to purchase. He did have a hunk of fabric in his hand. That's right. He had a big bundle of square pieces. We call them now layer cakes, 10-inch tiles of batiks, all wrapped up in a little like a U-ring or an O-ring, and they were all attached. Of course, that attracted my attention, being very interested in textiles, and he had this handful of unusual fabrics.
I originally went over there to talk about this pie thing I was interested in.
So finally, when the line had cleared out, he came up and he sat on little stools at my cutting table. And he said, I want to make a pie quilt. Are you familiar with pie? And I said, you mean 3.1415? Yes, he said, yes, that's right. I want to make a quilt based on the digits of pi. Well, that was very interesting to me.
John wanted to make quilts that looked like his color grids.
He had a printout of the first 10,000 digits of pi.
Yeah, so Ella, who has a kind of a business / science background, so she really was able to be excited by the pi connection, the math connection, and also excited by the African design quilt textile stuff I had.
He was more interested in trying to find out the quilting process, how he goes about doing this, and I was more interested in this handful of batiks, which he kept dangling in front of me and wouldn't let me touch, or he wouldn't put them on the table so that I could go through them and see what they were.
There was an instant connection in terms of, hey, let's make something. He was like, let's make a deal.
He has all these ideas running around in his head. And it's like, you know, this river coming out of what he wants to do. So we said, well, let's do one thing at a time.
So we did a trade. So I gave her some of my African textiles, and she said, I hope you make this pie quilt.
So then I said, do you have a sewing machine? Well, no, he said, I don't have a sewing machine, but I'm sure I can borrow one from the library. Well, I said, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the library checks out sewing machines. So he came in, and the store was closed that day, and Dawn and I said, well, okay, we'll show you how to sew. You want to make these quilts? We'll be happy to help quilt them, but you want to sew the tops? We'll show you how. So we got the sewing machine, put it at a table, and John sits at the table, and we told him how to operate it with a foot pedal, and that was a total disaster.
Gave me a machine, a sewing machine, and sent me to my studio, like, hey, put some of this together, and a lot of ironing and cutting. And
you have to ask John how many irons he burned up trying to iron these pieces onto this grid.
As the project continued, the Amish snowbirds got involved.
The ladies who quilt were from Ohio and Indiana and Illinois, and I don't have any quilters from Pennsylvania. They don't stitch good enough for us, so they learned to know John, and they would speak German, and John said, just let them know that I know German, so maybe they shouldn't be saying anything in German they don't want me to hear. As time went on and they got to know him and joke back and forth with him and enjoyed, you know, John, jovial John, he gets along with everybody. And they came to me and said, you know, that's the first time in my life that I have ever spoken to a black person. They've never had any, well, how would they? They live in the little farm back in a long lane, and their community is a very closed community.
They ended up producing 13 quilts, each measuring 8 feet on a side. The pie quilt each feature one of John's color grids. One, for example, is only in black and white, and it reports the digits of pi in binary. The quilts have great names, like Amish pie, black and white pie, civil pie. Another counts in base 3 and is red, white, and blue. That one is called American pie.
It was just absolutely amazing at the beautiful balance of colors that came about by simply following the pattern of pie.
However, the process wasn't seamless.
So one of the critical stories that I always tell about the quilts is when I did the real big one with the 2-inch squares. When we first did it, I noticed a mistake.
Do you mean one of the colored squares was out of sequence?
Right. That's right. And so I had to decide whether I play it off or just really do it all over again. Then it became clear that this is going to be, you know, math art. Then the math had to be as truthful as possible, right? And so we ended up doing it again. I think that crisis made me really think about that fine line between math, art, and then where math art exists, right in that middle space. You know, so I was just told with just the art thing, you can give yourself a certain kind of latitude, and then the math, and you get, you know, the truth trumps the delivery and aesthetic. So it's like, how do you find that nice middle? You honor both. I wanted to make my sense of a definitive statement about the relationship of math and art, write a book or give a talk, and I say, hey, let's do some work that actually speaks to it in a very direct way. And so I think this quilts is such a powerful metaphor, particularly for American culture. Quilts are, you know, whether it's the Underground Railroad quilts or the Amish quilts, quilts have a very sacred political or cultural importance in this country. And I also think the quilt is a very powerful metaphor or connecting math and art.
Sims wasn't only thinking about his own work, he was thinking about math art in general.
It's not just visual mathematics, but also have room for metaphors, things that can, you know, take you as a portal to help land you somewhere else. And so I think that's kind of the struggle. I think the general culture is open for these kind of connections, science and art, math and art, technology and art. This is new territory, and I think it's exciting.
I'd like to leave you with another pi-based composition by John Sims. It also recites the digits of pi, but in binary. And also like the Pi Day anthem, this one, in its entirety, has a duration of, you guessed it, 3 minutes, 14 seconds.